good to be with you this morning. What I want to talk about, I feel a little bit like the doctor that had to call a patient and said, I have good news and I have bad news. Which would you like first? So the man said, well, give me the good news. And the doctor said, we only have one day to live. And the man said, that's the good news. What could be worse than that? The doctor said, I was supposed to call you yesterday. So I have good news and I have bad news, okay? The good news is, you're to be commended for your efforts to learn here. We're all supposed to study and show ourselves approved. And you might be interested to know that I'm back in school again at the age of 62. So we never want to stop learning, right? There's always something more to be learned. But now I want to share with you the other side. Just the receiving of information into our minds is not what really changes us. It's the truth that we receive from the Lord. So I'm really brings about you. And I want you to think about that as your students, you're learning, you need to learn, because the Lord uses our education and what we learn as a motivation for us to want to change. But until the Lord changes that knowledge, that information that we put up here into experiential truth, most of us don't really change. And I want to use a little testimony about my life to demonstrate or to illustrate what I'm talking about. But first, if you look in John verses 8, 31 to 32, it says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now notice, he said that these were Jews that had believed him. If you were a Jew, you knew the Torah. You studied the Old Testament. You knew what was in the books of the Old Testament. So these Jews had knowledge of the Old Testament. But Jesus goes on to say, and you will know. You will know. They didn't know yet, but if they continued in him and his word, the Torah, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I had an interesting conversation with Dr. Kim and some of the Korean guests that he has here last night, talking about this a little bit, about how knowing the truth sets us free. And from my experience, what I've learned is that I have some beliefs that are not true. But because I believe them to be true, I act as though they are true. And I want to give you a couple of illustrations from my life, how that's so. In 2002, I was working as a chemical engineer for DuPont, the other DuPont. I had a good job. They treated me very well. I liked what I did. But I had told the Lord that if you show me, and there were some conditions I put on that, if you show me, I will leave my job. Okay. And so what did the Lord do? He worked those things out, and he showed me my time with DuPont was supposed to come to an end. So in 2004, I left my 29 years with DuPont. And I can remember it so clearly. It was June 30th was my last day. June 30th was a Wednesday, middle of the week. And being the conscientious employee that I was, I worked Thursday and Friday to give a good turnout. I wanted my job to be in well, so I worked Thursday and Friday. Then come the weekend. My normal weekend was recreation on Saturday and then church on Sunday. So things were pretty much normal. But I woke up Monday morning with a severe case of anxiety. And I woke up thinking, how am I going to take care of my family? My job, if you had asked me this, I would have said it wasn't true, but I realized afterwards it was. My job was my identity. Being a chemical engineer and project manager was what I gained my self-esteem. So I woke up this morning without a job, lost self-esteem, and I just felt like I felt like I was having a heart attack. And I remember that was the most difficult week that I've had in my life. I was physically in distress, and I went that whole week. Trust me, I prayed that whole week. I went to bed in fear, couldn't sleep. I would try to speak to the Lord through the night, through the next day, but I went all that week in this anxiety. And I was the person prior to this that believed that people that had anxieties were just weak people. But I found out I was one. And as I said, I went the whole week, and I did a lot of praying, but I wasn't doing a lot of listening. And I remember getting up Sunday morning, and I was a part-time church minister. And I went to the church, and I opened the church up, and I walked inside. Nobody was there yet. Still, the sun was just coming up, and some light was coming through the stained glass windows. And I remember standing up on the platform of the church, looking out into the sanctuary. And I just audibly said, God, I am out of control. And Jesus just as clearly said to me, you never will. And you know what? I've noticed, I grew up in the church in this way, and I love my church. It's helped me through the years, I love my church. And I have grown up since a child knowing that God's in control. But that was cognitively, I knew God was in control. But my real belief system, my essence, was a lie in that I felt that I had to maintain control. And when I lost my job, trust me, I felt that I had lost. But when Jesus spoke those words to me, that you've never been in control, what had been cognitive information became experiential truth. When he said that fast, my anxiety was gone. My fear was gone. And the peace and calm of being in relationship with the Lord was restored. That's the difference between information you put up here and what you really believe. We don't have it here. It's not real. I can probably say, how many times have you been to hear over finances or over your health or over some? All of those are really because we have things that we say we believe here, but they're not yet here as experiential truth. Does that make sense? It says in Romans 12, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable. To me, renewing of the mind is the process where God takes all this stuff we put up here and begins to make it real. I'm going to give you one more example of this to try to help you understand. I shared this with Dr. Green last night. When I was a little child, there was a club of boys in the neighborhood. I grew up in the church of Nazarene. In my home and in the church, smoking was wrong. But to get in this club of boys, you had to smoke. So I wanted to be part of the game, so I made up my mind I was going to do it. So my day of initiation, I got a cigarette. I didn't even get the end table. My sister busted into our camp and caught me. And she says, I'm going to tell Dad. I don't know what things were like in your home, but when I was disobedient, I fully expected to be, okay? And I begged my sister all the way home not to tell, but she did it. And when she told my dad, I was looking at my dad, and my dad's response was, turned away from me and said, I can't believe you did that and walked away. That crushed me. I remember now, it was such a painful event. At the time, I suppressed it, forgot it, and put it in the deep dark recesses. It was so painful that night, I laid away from my promise that I disappointed my father. What I didn't realize that I was in that moment, Satan planted a lie in my mind that I believed to be true. And that lie was, you're not even worth being punished. You're not. That's a lie of the enemy. You are not even worth being punished. We all have worth in that. But I believe that lie to be true. And so what happened? I suppressed and forgot the event. But anytime anyone said anything that was critical, or I perceived to be critical about it, my response was to feel that pain all over again. And whenever I started feeling that pain, I learned something as I grew older, that I could suppress that pain by getting angry. So I used anger. And anger did two things. It suppressed the pain of what I was doing. And it often caused people not to say anything more so they couldn't hurt me. So that was my response to being angry. But what happens in relationships when you get angry all the time? You feel hurt. You destroy your relationships, right? I carried that belief, that lie-based belief, I carried that up to the age of 54. And what's interesting, one of the reasons I love APTS was the place I received truth about that was up here in Geneva Hall in one of the rooms. Dr. Fukuway was the president at that time, and he asked me to help with the Board of Trustees. And I had prepared an agenda, and I sent it off, and Steve, fellow in Australia, Walsh, was the Board of Trustees president. And Steve sent back a response. Looking back on it, Steve had not been by what he said. But for some reason, I took it, I perceived it as criticism. It was instantly angry. And I typed up a response. Thank the Lord, I waited for a sentence. And after typing up that response, I remembered it was like the Lord said, what are you feeling? And I said, I'm angry. And the Lord said, no, what are you really feeling? And I thought about it for a second, and tears came to my eyes like they are now. And I said, I'm feeling like I'm not worth very much. That lie just playing it. You're not even worth it. And I said, Lord, where's that coming? I told you I suppressed that a bit. I found myself back in that event as a child. My dad saying those words. I said, Jesus, that was real. I did try to smile. I was disappointed. Jesus simply said, your value is not who you are or what you've done to me. My value is in Jesus Christ. And in that moment, the truth of my work went from my head to my heart. And that lie that Satan planted was replaced with the truth. But I did that value in Jesus Christ. I had prayed for many years for the Lord to deliver me from anger issues. And what the problem wasn't anger, the problem was the lie that I believed in. And when Jesus spoke truth, guess what? 80% of my anger issues disappeared in one moment just like that. Folks, we need to receive truth because if we get nothing but cognitive knowledge, it's not going to change our heart. And our heart is the key. It's that truth that we receive that sets us free. I could share many more of those things. The fact is, I'm involved in a prayer ministry now where we help people seek truth. Seek truth to these lie-based things that they believe, these lie-based beliefs. I can give you many examples. It is just incredible what the Lord has been healing and bringing truth. And now as I go back and read some of these events in the scriptures where Jesus deals with people, I see what he's doing is he's revealing the truth. So my prayer for you, my testimony, is that whenever we begin to convert a lot of this time of experience to truth. What does the scripture say? Knowledge puffed up, but truth sets us free. Lord, I just thank you for the truth that has been revealed to me. I couldn't be here. I couldn't talk before this group today. It hadn't been for some truth that you brought to me. Lord, I thank you for the truth that you brought about who's in control. If I hadn't received that, I could have never gone through that period of time where I lost my parents, my wife, and my mother. But because of that truth, you showed me that there's life and there's things that you have for me. And the woman that's been here, I thank you. Lord, I pray that your spirit would speak to each one of us. We're all supposed to reveal truth. And Lord, as you reveal truth, our lives begin to change. And it's the change that people see. And it's the change that gives us the opportunity to be a witness and a testimony. To glorify you, lift you up, and see in front of you. So be glorified, Lord. Take my words and use them for your glory. Jesus.